the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verses 14 through 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. You would remain standing with me for the reading of the Word of God. This is God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word. Receive it as such. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God. You may be seated. Well, it was on a cross, the cross of Calvary, that our Savior bore our sins in His body. Wicked men beat Him and nailed Him to a cross, yet this was all according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God the Father. On the cross of Calvary, God laid upon Christ our sins, and Christ became our propitiation. He satisfied the wrath of God that stood against us on account of our sins. He bore our sins in His body upon the cross, and He satisfied that wrath of God that was against us on account of our sins. He was sinless, but He satisfied that wrath of God that stood against us. Christ made a full and complete atonement for the sins of all those who would come to Him, would come to believe on Him. From all times and all places, from the Garden of Eden till the last sinner is saved, the last child of God is saved, just before the trumpet call of God. But He made a full and complete atonement for all the sins of all those who would come to believe on Him. Complete and full. In His blood we have a redemption. We have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. It's in His blood, according to the riches of His grace. So, as we contemplate the cross tonight, just consider the cross of Calvary. That's where God worked salvation in His Son for all those who would come to believe on Him. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we've all sinned, we all deserve the wrath of God, we all deserve eternal condemnation, we all deserve nothing but justice and the wrath of God. But we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe from our hearts, truly believe, are justified and declared not guilty. Not on account of anything that we've done, but by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. So it's through Jesus Christ, and it's in Jesus Christ that we are saved. And it's by faith in Him that we receive that free gift of eternal life. By faith, not by works, by faith. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of all those who will come to believe on Him. You know, God's salvation in Christ is to be received by faith. That's very important. Not faith in faith. No, not faith in faith, but a conscious transfer of trust from yourself to Christ. That's what faith is. You're transferring your trust from yourself onto Christ. I'm putting my trust in Christ and Christ alone. That's what faith is. It's an active, living faith. Not faith in faith. It's faith in Christ. Faith is how you take hold of eternal life in Christ. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But that's exactly how you take hold of it. It's by faith. That's how you take hold of eternal life and all the promises that are yes and amen in Christ. By faith, believing on Him, transferring your trust from yourself to Him and Him alone. You believe in your heart and make that conscious transfer of trust from yourself to Christ. He's my Savior. He's my deliverer. He is my propitiation. He's my righteousness. He's my Lord. He is my life. He is my all in all. Christ. Christ has secured for me eternal life. Christ has secured for me pardon for sin. Christ has done it. Christ has saved me. Christ has redeemed me. Christ has brought me into fellowship and favor with God the Father. Christ and Christ alone. I have no hope outside of Christ. That's what true saving faith is. There's no pardon for my sins outside of Christ. I'm putting my faith in Christ and Christ alone. He stood in my stead. He died for me. He did it. And there's a picture, though, of this in the God's gracious act of deliverance. In the Old Testament, I want us to look at that this evening. Our Lord references this in John 3:14. We read it just a moment ago. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And I want us to look at this picture or this foreshadow that's in the Old Testament tonight before we come to the Lord's table. And it's in Numbers, actually. Numbers, all the way back, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 through 9, Numbers chapter 21 and verses 4 through 9, this is what happened back here. The people had rebelled against God. They turned away from God. They were murmuring against God. And here's what happened. God sent out His wrath upon them. And He sent out these serpents. And that's what we're going to read about here in 21:4. Numbers 21, verse 4. "From Mount Hor they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food.' And then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He may take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live." So here we have this picture here. Actually, we have, first of all, we have justice. We have the justice of God being executed here. We have not only justice, though, we have here a picture of God's justice and His mercy on display. First, we see God's justice, though, being carried out here as these deadly serpents were sent out by God as judgment on these sinful and rebellious people. And these serpents, they came here on the ground, right? They were on the ground, and they were coming at the people, and they were biting the rebellious and Israelites, which guaranteed their death. And the wages of sin is death. And they had sinned against God. They were murmuring against God. They even called the food and that he gave them. They loathed this worthless food. They were just whining and complaining. And if we read throughout the Old Testament where they wanted to go back to Egypt, they wanted to forsake God. But here specifically, they were whining and complaining about everything. God had provided for them, protected them, and cared for them, but instead of giving him thanks, they were actually complaining and whining about the conditions, their living conditions, and then even the quality of the food. And so God, in his righteous indignation here, he sends out these serpents, and they were biting the people, and when they were bitten by these serpents, then it was guaranteed that they would die. And that's the justice of God being executed here on the people. The wages of sin is death. People were dying all around the Israelite camp, and from the serpent bites, they would bite them. And then what happened? They cried out to Moses that he please go and intercede on our behalf, save us. And Moses, that's what they do. They come up to him and they plead with him to intercede on their behalf to God. And so right there, again, we have that they've recognized they sinned. And so they went to Moses and begged and pleaded with him to go to God and intercede on our behalf. And they wanted God to deliver them from these serpents, from the wages of their sins, which was death. And so you see God's righteous judgment, though, on display and releasing of the serpents throughout the camp. And in spite of their pleas here, God, and Moses' plea on their behalf, God did not remove death from the camp. The wages of sin is death. So if a serpent bit anyone, he would most certainly die. Those fiery serpents were actually said to be known to be very, very poisonous, and there was no treatment or antidote for the bite. Death was imminent for those who were bitten. But God, who is rich in mercy, we want to see his mercy. Everyone always wants to get to the mercy. I want to see the mercy of God. Right? We don't want to talk too much about the justice of God. But here we see his mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, he commanded Moses to fashion a fiery serpent, right, in the image of these serpents, and out of bronze, and to put it on the end of the pole and lift it up before the people. And that's what he would do. And when a serpent bit anyone, he would just look. If he would look to that serpent, then he would live. If he would look to the serpent. And this is the mercy of God on display in offering a way of escape to a rebellious people. And Moses intercedes, and God answers by offering the Israelites a way of escape from divine justice and judgment. But this is God's plan. This is God's way. It was not man's design. It was God's free offer of life to all those who would have otherwise died or perished. And God says, look unto me and be you saved in all the nations. He says, look unto me and be you saved, all you nations. And herein is that same offer. Here's his mercy being shown here, and herein is that same offer of pardon for sins. Look unto me. And when you look under the bronze serpent that Moses was going to hold up, when they look under that look on that bronze serpent that he's holding up, then they would be free from death. They would not die from that bite. And so this is the way, though. This was the way of escape. And this was the way of salvation. This was the way of life. And they would look unto that. And you consider, what was a dying person doing when they looked to the bronze serpent? What were they doing when they looked to the bronze serpent? God had told them, okay, look, I'm going to offer this, okay? If put this bronze serpent up on the pole, and if they'll look to that, if they're bitten by that serpent, and they look to that, then they will live. But if not, they're going to die. So think about what they're doing when they're looking to that bronze serpent. They're actually looking by faith. They're trusting in what God just said, what God's promise was, and what God's way of salvation was. It was just a look to that. And they're doing that by faith. He's looking to that person who was bitten by the serpent, is then looking by faith to the serpent. He's not looking to the serpent to save him. He's trusting in what God said. This is my way of salvation. This is the way. If you'll just turn and look, then you'll live. If you look upon that serpent, then you will be freed from death, if you'll do that. And so that person, when he's turning and looking, is actually by faith looking to actually God to save him. He's trusting in God to save him. He believes God's word. God says, look and be saved, and I'm going to do it. When that person does that, then it's by faith, trusting in God. And this is actually a command here. This is God's free remedy for the deadly bite of a serpent. But it's also a command. Here we have the mercy of God being offered to all who will turn and look in obedient faith upon that serpent. And they must obey, though. This is a command. You must obey. Obey God, or what's going to happen? It's really either, which one? Are you going to obey God? God says, look and live. And if you don't, then what's going to happen? You're going to die. So either you're going to obey God and look and live, or you're going to die. And God's command, he commands them to look to it by obedient faith or die. And think about that simple act of turning and looking. It's an expression of one's obedient faith. If you run to a doctor for help, or you seek a remedy, some remedy from another person. You look around for a remedy from another source, whatever it may be. Then you're going to die. If you don't immediately obey me, then you're going to die. There's a sense of urgency here. You must look and live immediately. There is no time to spare. Death is imminent. You must obey or die. That's your options. You must immediately seek out God's remedy or die. That's the two options. And turning to the bronze serpent, a dying person, what is he doing? He's now acknowledging his inability to save himself. And he's acknowledging God's ability to save him, and God alone. So then when he looks to the bronze serpent in obedient faith, he's actually transferring his trust from himself unto God. God is going to save me. God is the one whom I'm trusting in. I'm going to do what God says, because he's promising me life instead of death. God must save me. I have no other hope. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge I've sinned against God. I'm under the condemnation of God Almighty for my sins. I've transgressed the law of God. And what must I do to be saved? I must believe. I must believe what God said, and I must turn and look. I must do that to be saved. Turn and look. But you know, whoever rejects that free offer that God made to the Israelites, whoever rejects that free offer of the remedy for death will most surely die. They're going to die. Choose this day. I mean, he offered them. Here he revealed to them the way of life. Here it is. Here is the way to escape my justice. Here is the way to escape my wrath. And he revealed that to all of them, every one of them. They knew the way. This is what God says. If you will turn and look by obedient faith, you will live. Yeah. So choose this day, life or death. And those who did not believe and receive God's free offer of life would die in disobedience and unbelief. But those who trusted and obeyed God would live. And so I want us to see then how that was just a foreshadow of the divine reality. I want us to think about how that historical event, it pictured or foreshadowed God's plan of salvation. And if we look back over in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 14, remember Jesus referenced that event there in Numbers chapter 21, but over here he's referenced it in John chapter 3 verse 14. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. So God would offer up his Son, his only Son, so that whoever believes in him, they would have may have eternal life. So the Son of God would be lifted up on a pole. He would be nailed to a tree. The Son of God. So that whoever would look upon him, whoever would look to him by obedient faith would live. They would receive the mercy of God and live. You know, Jesus, he was speaking to Nicodemus here in John chapter 3. To give you a little background here, that's who he was speaking to. And he was telling Nicodemus here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And Jesus here, he's telling Nicodemus about this wonderful and glorious salvific plan of God, which was foreshadowed in the bronze serpent which Moses had lifted up in the wilderness. And the Son of Man here must be lifted up, though, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And this is that divine plan to save a people from every tribe and tongue and language and people group for himself. For God so loved the world. And we're talking about Jews and Gentiles, not the whole world. We're talking about a people from both Jews and Gentiles alike, from every tribe and tongue and nation. He so loved the world, a people from across the world, that he gave his only Son, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And you know, that same offer goes out to everyone. impartially. It goes out to everyone, whoever will believe on him. And on the cross, though, of Calvary is the mercy of God and the justice of God on display. And I want us to look at that, the justice of God, just quickly. The justice of God is seen in this on the cross of Calvary. We see there where the wrath of God is being poured out upon his Son for our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, and the wrath of God was poured out upon him. The just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We who are sinners, who deserve the wrath of God, who deserve the justice of God, we who are hell-deserving sinners, he bore our sins. So there we see the justice of God being fulfilled, being satisfied. God's justice would be satisfied. God is just, and a sinner apart from a substitutionary sacrifice must be punished. The wages of sin is death. And so there on the cross, we see the justice of God. But we also see the mercy of God. The mercy of God is seen in this, that God would grant forgiveness of sins to all those who would repent or turn from their rebellious ways and look in obedient faith upon Jesus Christ, upon his Son. And so you see here, just as the Israelites had put their faith in the promise of God to save them from death via the bronze serpent that was lifted up. And so in like manner, all those who will turn and look by faith on Christ will be granted forgiveness for sins and receive the free gift of eternal life. Now, I'm certain that there were many Israelites who had received a deadly serpent bite, but refused to turn and to look at the bronze serpent so that they might live. And sadly, those died. Those individuals died in unbelief. Disobedient unbelief. They perished. They refused to take hold of the free gift of life to be received by faith. All they had to do was turn and look and trust in God to save them through this act. Just trusting in him. Trusting in his word. That's all they had to do. But many, I'm sure, refused to turn and look and mocked that free gift, that free offer of life. And they have only themselves to blame. Only themselves. The revealed way and offer of mercy, it went out to everyone without partiality, but sadly many did not believe in the divine plan of salvation or deliverance from death. So we could just say here, we could say that the message of the serpent was foolishness to them. It was foolishness. They didn't believe. And so they refused. They refused to turn and to look and live. They refused. And so they died. And so it is, though, with God's promise of eternal life through faith in the crucified Christ. Sadly, many will reject the promise of eternal life through obedient faith in Christ. Christ crucified, what does the Bible say? Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Nevertheless, again, they have only themselves to blame. The free offer goes out into all the world, to every person, without partiality. That free offer is there for everyone. It goes forth to everyone. And so they have only themselves to blame. The gospel, it continues even this, to this day, to go forth into all the world, to all the nations. And those who reject that the divine plan of salvation in Christ through faith in Him will die in their sins. Christ crucified is God's plan. It's God's plan to save sinners. So whosoever rejects God's plan of salvation will die in their sins. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's foolishness to them. And they will perish in their sins. They will die in their sins. They will die without a substitutionary sacrifice. And therefore, they will be punished. They will be punished for not a day or a week or a month, but forever and ever and ever before the face of the Lamb of God in hell. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. We look upon the cross and we see there on the cross with spiritual eyes, we see a dying Savior. We see a dying Savior. Not a bloody criminal. We see Christ crucified as being, as God's mercy being offered freely to hell-deserving sinners. So there's God's mercy. We see that at the cross. Christ is the remedy for our greatest disease, which is sin. Christ is God's plan of salvation for lost sinners. Here it is. This is the way. This is the way. This is God's way. This is God's Christ. This is God's gospel. God's plan of salvation for lost sinners is Christ. Christ is a sinner's only hope. And God says, look unto Him and be ye saved. But we must look. We must look unto Him. And what are we? We have to look away from ourselves. We have to look away from ourselves and look unto Christ, a sinner's only hope. We have to look away from our self-effort and our good works. We have to look away from everything and look to Christ. He has to be our only hope, and He is our only hope. So we look away from our own self, and we lift up our eyes and we look to Christ. We look to our suffering Savior who He bled and He died on the cross of Calvary so that all who will believe in Him will have peace with God and forgiveness for our sins and everlasting life. But we must turn from our own strength, our own self-righteousness and dead works, and we must turn from the world's ways and remedies. There's all sorts of, the world will offer you all different ways and all kinds of remedies, and they'll promise you life and joy and peace. And there's even those who will offer all these different ways to God, and guess what? None of them include Christ. But God has offered the way, the only way, and that is in Christ. But we have to turn away from the world. We have to turn away from ourselves and look to God's way, God's remedy. It's Christ. And there's nothing we can do to save ourselves from death and judgment. We can't save ourselves. We all have been bitten by sin. We all are diseased and dying. We all are terminally ill. Sin has given us a death blow. It has severed our relationship with a thrice holy God. It has destroyed our relationship with God and with one another, and it has ruined us. Sin. Of our own doing, we have no one else to blame. But God has revealed a way to be healed and delivered from sin, and that way is Christ. Christ crucified, a sinner's only hope. Christ, and Christ alone. You look unto Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we look unto Jesus and live. You turn to Him and live. We must turn and look. We must repent from our sins, and we must turn away from our old sinful ways, renounce those, and turn to God in faith, trusting in Jesus. But you can't do that if you're still holding on to your sins or you're holding on to the things of the world. You can't turn to Christ while you have an armful of the world. You have to let go of those things. You have to let go of that. You have to renounce your old life, your old sinful life, and repent and turn to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Turning to God for salvation. Turning to Christ. He's a sinner's only hope. And so we must put our hope and faith in the atoning death of Christ on the cross for our sins. You know, this is God's plan. He is God's plan to save a people for Himself. He is God's plan of salvation. And this is God's plan for eternal life and peace, and that's in Christ, to be found in Christ alone. He's the only way, truth, and life, and no one can come to the Father but by Him. There's no other way, though. There's only one way. It's God's way. It's God's plan. This is God's design, not man's. It's God's. And God says, repent and turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be ye saved. And there's no other way. There's no other way to escape from the wrath of God to come upon every impenitent sinner apart from obedient faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and peace with God. There is only the promise of death and judgment and eternal damnation. And you know, God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. And therefore, He calls upon everyone to repent and turn from your evil ways. Repent and turn and live. Trust in Christ. Put your faith in Christ. Lift up your eyes to the crucified Savior and find in Him salvation and in Him alone. There's no other way. The wages of sin is death, and the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ and in Christ alone. So come today, if anyone has not, and place your faith and trust in Christ. You know, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. That's where God's at work, saving a people for Himself. It's only in Christ. It's only through faith in Him. It's only found in Christ. It's only found in a crucified Christ. Foolishness, right? It's foolishness to the Gentiles. It's a stumbling block to Jews, but to those of us who are being saved, we see Christ through spiritual eyes. Christ crucified, we see there a dying Savior who died on our behalf so that we might have our sins pardoned, our sins washed away, so that we might have that broken relationship with our God restored, and so that we might have eternal life. So how have you received the message of the cross? You have to ask yourself that. How have you received the message of the cross? By obedient faith or in disobedient unbelief? The offer goes out again this evening. If you don't repent and turn by obedient faith, look upon Christ by obedient faith, then you will perish in your unbelief and disobedience. So choose this day. Choose this day. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to sing a closing hymn before we come to the Lord's table. Father in heaven, we thank you again for Jesus. Jesus, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, who came into the world. He came into the world as a man. He added to himself a human nature. He became the God-man so that he could save us for himself. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that we didn't get smart, but you came and you sought us out, and you put your Spirit in us, who has given us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that's soft and open and receptive to the truth. You have given us the faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So we thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you for this evening that we can just come together here again as a body of believers and remember the Lord's death in the Lord's table. And so we thank you for that. Would you bless the remainder of our evening together? And may you be glorified in it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.